welcome. It's Neil Fagan here, and you're listening to The Scribble Show. Well, you've just got me this week, as we're in that holiday season again. We've got back into that. Jeff's away, but you'll have Steve back next week. Steve and I are both on the programme on our last show for the summer months, because what's happening is we're going to take a summer break. It's part of our broadcast schedule. So you'll be without The Scribble Show for about 6 to 8 weeks over the summer, and next week will be our last show before we start back in the autumn, where we will start lifting your spirits again with some great poetry that's around. But just concentrating on today for the minute, we've got an absolute cracking show for you today. We've got some really first-class poetry, as we do every week. We try and lighten the load, as I say every week on the programme. Just sit back, kick off your shoes, and relax. Because if you've had a week like we've had, with all this rain, this deluge, these floods that we've been having anywhere, everywhere, it's probably a really good time just to shut all the doors, shut the windows, batten down the hatches, and just spend the next 60 minutes listening to some absolutely superb poetry. So let's get the ball rolling with a piece by Louise Erdick. It's being voiced by Michael R. Justice, and it's called Life Will Break You. Have a listen to this.
Life will break you. Nobody can protect you from that. And living alone won't either. For solitude will also break you with its yearning. You have to love. You have to feel. It is the reason you are here on earth. You are here to risk your heart. You are here to be swallowed up. And when it happens that you are broken or betrayed or left or hurt or death rushes near, let yourself sit by an apple tree and listen to the apples falling all around you in heaps, wasting their sweetness. Tell yourself you tasted as many as you could.
Absolutely wonderful. And a great piece of poetry, Life Will Break You, by Louise Erdick. And I thought it was really good to start that, start the programme off with that this week, because it's true. You know, you shouldn't spend your time in solitude. You need to get out there, communicate with people, get involved with people. If you don't risk anything, you achieve nothing. So get out there, spread the love around, you know, get involved with people, which is really great. So thanks for recording that, Michael. Another great way to start the program off. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to take the a summer break. We do this every year. But the beauty of this time is usually when we take a summer break, there's nobody filling the gap for us. But we've got our great friends over at The World Comes to You, Alan Johnson and Susan Worrell, who will no doubt continue to broadcast through the summer months. And it's great. Just get over there on a Saturday morning around about 11, 12 o'clock to Poetry in Motion and have a listen to A World Comes to You, because it really is a great programme. A little bit different from this, but lots of interviews with some wonderful poets and listening to their work as well. And Alan does an absolutely sterling job, and so does Susan, of putting that programme together. Right, so that's it on that side. I've told you what we're up to. Now let's get into the poetry. So a couple of weeks ago, I played a piece of poetry by somebody called My Dystopia, and I made the mistake of saying it was a gentleman by the name of My Dystopia, and it's not, it's a young woman. And I got that wrong, because when I listened back to it, I thought, why did I say that? But then again, I do say things, and I think, why did I say that? Anyway, this is to make amends for getting your gender wrong. My apologies, My Dystopia. This is called Tripping Blind. Just have a listen to this.
Tripping Blind by My Dystopia. I saw the light when I tripped. It was blinding, it was beautiful. magnified hazy blue and purple. I followed the glow down faint dirt paths, lost my way, fell off the beaten track, failed to make it back. I wandered in the woods for years, through the snow and through the tears, no fear. On I go into the unknown, not afraid to lose myself, not afraid to go alone. Against the tide, my life I swim, and in between I drown in sin. Every word I write, I win.
See, as I was saying before, you've got to take that risk, you've got to get out there. And I thought that was great by My Dystopia, Tripping Blind. Wonderful piece. Thank you very much for putting that together. Now, every week we promote PoetStream on Google Plus, and this week's no different. We've got quite a few of their poets on the set today. We're going to kick it off with R.C. De Winter, who's done a piece called Felinity. So sit back, have a listen to this. R.C. De Winter is one of those classic poets, does a really good job of everything that she writes. So have a listen.
You remind me of my cat. If I chase him, he runs. But if I go about my business and pay no attention, he always comes around looking for it. And isn't that exactly what you are? A huge, fierce cat roaming the savannah, but always checking in to see if I'm still listening.
See, there you go. Are you more cat or are you more dog? That is always the question. So, as old two do the I'm more dog, you can also be more cat as well. That was a great piece of observation work by R.C. De Winter there. Wonderful. Thank you for putting that together. Now, in the same vein, Sia Greenhorn, who's been on the programme before as well, has put a piece together called Mass for Now. She's quite a prolific poet, as well as R.C. De Winter is, and she also posts to PoetStream. So have a listen to Sia Greenhorn in Mass for Now.
Mass for Now. By Sia Greenhorn. Eyes in bitter shadow peer, survey to find in your private life weakness and links, soreness in spine, fragility of mind, hated, any positivity of spirit to see, any peace or unity. Hands hide the scarlet scars of tainted sins, ropes to hang, sprouting words like swords to stab, wound or kill, setting traps to bind or bend at will, when extended soft fingers them to befriend. Heart dark behind thin wicked grins, pretend. But in the end, hypocrisy loses. Mask will fall after earthquake shaken. Harmony is not a goal forsaken. True love plus justice, always in time. Topple divisive walls, racial barriers, and unworthy cause.
Another great piece there by Sia Greenhorn. So that's a couple from the PoetStream, but you'll see and hear more of them during the show, which is really good. Now, Karen King's been a regular on the programme. She's just done a collaboration book called The Fantasy of Love, and she's done it in collaboration with Ed Michalski. And we're going to play an overview of that. She's going to tell us what it's about. She's going to read a little bit from the preface of the book. And the reason I'm playing it is it really lifts my spirits when I see all these people working in collaboration to one end, which I think is absolutely tremendous. And you see it a lot in the arts world, but you especially see it with all you poets out there, where you get together and you decide that you're going to collaborate on a book and you're going to put this book together and you're both going to profit from it. That might not be money, but it'll certainly be in enriching people's lives and enriching your own lives. And Karen's done this exact thing. She's put this book together called The Fantasy of Love, and her and Ed have worked hard on it and they published it, and we'll give you the links to it in the show notes so that you know where you can go and get it from. And it is one of those collaborations that we want to promote. And if any of you out there are doing any collaboration work, let us know and we'll ensure that we promote it on the Scribble Show. And this is what Karen has to say.
Hello everyone, this is Karen King here. Ed Michalski and I have just finished a book called A Fantasy of Love, which is available to purchase through CreateSpace. And here is the introduction that Ed wrote. I read a book today. Its cover was made out of my wings and someone's wings that I have grown to love. We met online in poetry groups and in dreams and the shadows of other lives. We met men, both our lives were challenging. There are words there that draw pictures of our faces and our lives and our dreams. It made me cry, because our words make love, but we never touch. We live 1,000 miles away. The pages are made out of the paper and tears of our lives. I printed it out. It was heavy with the weight of old castles. It was new and older than time. It was made of old love and new love. It was a hopeful book and a sad book. It was a book that looked deep in love's eyes and under her skirts. A book that smelled like the sea and forests and caves and what tomorrow may smell like. It was a story of a knight and queen and two people crying. It was written in the mud and dirt and flowers and the beauty of life. It was written in the shadows of memories and the light of dreams. It's a book of love and what lust sounds like from far away. It is not a book for children. It's for those of us who know what love feels like and what it tastes like. It is for those that want it again or are lucky enough to have it. I hope you all enjoyed that. And if you like the introduction and you feel it might be your sort of book to read, you need to look on CreateSpace and it's called A Fantasy of Love. And it's by Karen King and Ed Michalski. Thank you. Bye.
Well, sounds like a great book. I'm going to get myself a copy. I'm going to get on down there and get a copy because they've worked really hard on putting this book together. So the offer stands. If any of you are doing collaborations or you're writing a book, you want to promote a book, let us know on the Scribble Show and we'll actually promote it for you. So hopefully that'll drive more people to either buy your book or read your book. But certainly get your poetry out there, because that's what this program's all about. Now, Karen had a bit of a torrid week this week as well, because unfortunately her and her son Vincent were involved in a car accident. Fortunately, both of them are well. And even with all that going on, Vincent's obviously picked up from his mother the love of poetry, and he wrote a piece called The Seagull. And Karen emailed me and said, you know, Vincent's wrote this poem. What do you think? I thought it was great. I said, can you get him to read it? She said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And she sent it in, and I thought what we'd do today is we'd play The Seagull by Vincent King. Have a listen, see what you think.
I am a seagull, being pushed backwards by the wind, as the Almighty One furiously flaps his wings. Monstrous curves beneath me in the giant beast of a beak. The almighty ancestor is becoming angrier, thinking of the old times when the catastrophic cat ended his days.
You see, he's got the same sort of view as his mum there. Quite individual, though, in the way he's put it together. But really nice piece, that by Vincent. Well done. Thank you for sending that in, The Seagull. I can almost see that seagull as he was talking about it, which was really great. Thanks very much for that, Vincent. Now, we're going to do a bit of a promo, the old promo, which still says April, but never mind. Once we get back after the summer months, we'll have a new jingle for The World Comes to You. We're going to play that for you. And then I'm going to pick up on quite a few of the poets that are on Poetry in Motion. And Alan's done the readings of these. We've got Lullaby by the Sea by Nadine Sanderson and Temptation written by Julie Peterson. Both really great pieces. So let's play the jingle first and then we'll kick in with Lullaby by the Sea.
Well, hello. The World Comes to You here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone. Oh. So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The World Comes to You.
Oh, I can't have all them coming here.
¶¶ you woke awake my dreaming hours and dare to cross the ivory towers to the land in which I sleep upon a cloud of pillows where only angels weep. Underneath the stars, a knight within a knight's dreamlike state, chanting the woes of love within golden fields of breath you take. Upon a landscape within the skies, so many stars have fallen into your eyes. To dance within my head like lilies beautiful and dead. Pretty smile upon your face, causing hearts to bend, not break. Within the timeless pounding it makes, setting fire to all souls abound. Once falling into the depths of the moon, splashed silver across the shores, waves calmly greet the rocks. Awakened your face to see, you standing staring back at thee. For awake within my dream hours, walking in my sleeping air, dancing within a state of sleep, your heart, my love, my dreams in thee. Play a peaceful melody. You're my lullaby by the sea. I love you in my dreams and in my waking reality.
What an absolutely stunning piece that was. That was beautiful. That threw me right down to those beautiful shores down on the Cornish coast, where you can just sit there listening to the waves crashing on the shores with a loved one, just taking it easy and chilling out. As you can tell, I'm getting in a bit of the holiday spirit because we'll soon be away and taking it easy ourselves. But wonderful piece by Nardine Sanderson. Lovely the way it evokes those memories that we all have of those salad days, our salad days, whatever they are, it just throws you back to those times. So thanks very much for reading that, Alan, and beautiful piece by Nardine. Well done. Now, moving on to Temptation. Now, this has been written by Julie Peterson. Alan's done the reading on it again, and it's a brilliant piece. So have a listen to Temptation by Julie Peterson.
Must have been temptation, stepping inside and stealing my heart, taking everything I had, leaving more than ever imagined. What have I come to understand is what I want, I cannot have. What I have, I do not want. And you left me empty. Full. Gorged on life and hungry for love, searching for you everywhere, finding you right here within my grasp, only to be snatched away and found again. Now you are invisible and seen, heard but not spoken to, captured but not held. I am set free, yet yours forever.
Well, there you go. Two pieces that just make you want to just curl up and relax and take it easy. So, wonderful piece by Julie Peterson. Absolutely stunning. Now, coming back to Earth with a bit of a bang, we've got a very short piece by Breezy McDaniel. Bit of a slam poet, this lady. Have a listen to this one.
Anxiety is a breath of air never released, the suffocation of your lungs and mind. Anxiety is a constant war inside of yourself, but there are no winners. Anxiety is a volcano waiting to erupt, slowly destroying everything inside of you. Anxiety is the feeling of being alone in a room full of people, being a stranger to yourself when everyone around you claims to know who you are.
See, if you've ever suffered from anxiety, that's it. That's what anxiety feels like. So short piece, ran for about 18 seconds. Don't know how she rattles them off. She speaks at Mach 1. But what a great way of putting a piece of slam poetry together. Breezy McDaniel, watch out for her. You can catch her on YouTube. Anxiety, really great piece. Bit of slam poetry there for you, just to break things up a little bit. Just to break you up from that nice, relaxed atmosphere, we thought we'd shake it up a little bit. Now, moving down, Heather Alley, she wrote a piece called Sister Girl. She's a spoken word poet, very prolific, wonderful poetess. Have a listen to what she's put together.
Sister Girl by Heather Alley from Margie Marie. She called to say, I'm feeling you today. You okay? What? I don't understand. With 2,800 miles between us now, how can you feel my need? She said, you're a genuine person. When your beautiful soul needs love, it's a powerful pull. I felt the urge to call you and tell you I love you. I love you. Thank you, are the words my mouth replied. Inside private chambers, my heart broke, and her proud, strong love poured in. Pillars of silently durable truth that hold up and heal belonged inside my private silent chapel. Light calls to light, rekindling dim sparks back to the flame. Love that is shot from a pure soul cannon has speed, velocity, and mass. Invisible superpowers allowing instantaneous presence travel. Space-time barriers, irrelevant mathematics. Instant delivery with the thought beat of intentionally sacred surrender. My mind's eye, seeing her beautiful smile, as the words left her heart, racing to kiss my ear. That's what sisters are for.
See, that bond between siblings, doesn't matter what the distance is, it's always there. You know, I don't know whether you've got any sisters or brothers, but you just instinctively know when they need that phone call which says, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? And you just pick up the phone. It doesn't matter what the distance is. You just get in touch with them because it is, there's just some sort of bond there. I do the same with my sister. She does it the same with me. She seems to know when things aren't going the way you would like them to go. And she's on the phone saying, hey, you okay? I thought that was a really nice piece. Great observation by Heather Alley. Really great. Now, it's that poem Kubli moment. We're going to play you the intro, and then we're going to go into the poem Kubli Poem of the Week by Diane Forbes Compton. It's called The Dried Flower. And this is a really smashing piece by Diane, and it's been chosen this week to be played on the programme. And Poem Kubli is one of those groups where this week, for instance, we had four or five guest poets. And that's the whole raison d'etre, if you like, of Poem Kubli, is to give everybody an opportunity to get involved in the group and to get their work profiled. So have a listen to this one. Well, we'll do the intro first, and then we'll go straight into Diane's piece.
12 poems, 2 words. An explosion of mind-bending, heart-rending, scaring, sharing, dream-making, tear-jerking poetry of epic proportions. That is Kubli.
The Dried Flower. They met at the local bookstore, an old-fashioned place with deep cushioned couches, reading lamps, coffee and tea, and books. Lots and lots of books. She had just moved into the area, hadn't really tried to make friends yet, but when she heard a favorite author was coming into town to sign the latest bestseller, she wrapped herself up against the cold and found the bookstore. She loved coming back to reacquaint herself with all the old fictional friends that had traveled around the world with her. She met her future husband at the bookstore. They were reaching for a copy of the same book, and their hands touched. She'd had the book first and dropped it. When she bent to pick it up, so did he, and they knocked heads. And somehow this knocked them both over. Theirs was a quiet story, a simple courtship, dinners out, sometimes dancing, music, or concerts. More often dinner at home, surrounded by the books they both loved. When they were married, she carried a bouquet of pink camellias. He wore a single one in his buttonhole. After the second baby, their life acquired the rhythm that all families live. Work and babies, bills and pain, love and laughter. Lots and lots of laughter and lots of love. When the younger child was 5, news came from the family doctor. The wife had a tumor, small, operable, but there it was. They had felt adverse to misadventure, felt above such frailties of life. But sometimes the happiest among us appear to suffer the most. Or maybe it's their happiness that makes their suffering seem more than it should be. The operation was successful, but then there was another, and then another. They said goodbye during the twilight of an early spring evening. The hospital was old, and somehow he'd pried a window open. The last rays of the sun blew into the room with a gentle breeze. She coughed and offered an apology. He shushed her and held her hand. They'd drugged her so much that he wasn't sure she was even aware of what was happening. But then she spoke. She spoke of love and life, recited a passage from an old book they both loved. Her voice would break and then rise again, strong for a moment, and they said goodbye. After she was gone, he stopped visiting the bookstore, stopped reading the old books. For a while, he just stopped. Until one day, the younger child called out to him. She was holding a book out of which had dropped a dried flower, pressed between the leaves, a small pink camellia, his former boutonniere. He recognized the book. It was the one they both first reached for. He held it to the light and saw her favorite passage underlined. He finally cried, and when he cried, he felt her again, almost as if she hadn't left. After that, he would pack the children up and take them back to the bookstore. There he introduced them to all of the old literary friends his wife had carried around the world with her. He told them of how they had met, how they loved, and how they lived. Many years went by. The children grew, married, had their own families. His daughter found him in his favorite reading chair. At first she thought he was asleep. An old book lay on his lap. A dried flower was in his hand. The book, a book of poetry by an old and dead poet, was open, and there was a passage that had been underlined not once, but twice. Love is the voice under all silences, the hope which has no opposite in fear. The strength so strong, mere force is feebleness. The truth more first than sun, more last than star. E.E. Cummings. She felt for a pulse and knew he was gone. She picked up the dried flower, a pink camellia, and carefully placed it back in the book. She replaced the book on its shelf before calling for help. After the funeral, the family cleaned out the house and held a jumble sale. The jumble sale was held on a cold Saturday morning. A young woman had stopped and was going through all of the lovely old books set on a table. She went to reach for one, not seeing another hand reaching also. They both picked it up at the same time, but it fell. Out dropped an old dried flower. She bent to pick it up, and so did he, and they knocked heads. And then laughed.
So, life goes round in a bit of a circle, doesn't it? You know, these things happen. Though it was great the way Diana put that together. And you can imagine that deep love that people have. And if you've been fortunate enough, and still are fortunate enough, to enjoy that, you'll understand the meanings in that poem. But I really like the twist at the end, that even though these two people who were so much in sync with each other, their legacy was passed on, and the same sort of thing was going to happen, you would surmise, to two other young people who'd met in this rather abstract way, and it forges these new relationships as we go forward. So, wonderful piece by Diane. So, thank you very much, Diane, for that. Now, staying with the love theme, we're going to play you a piece now by Kara Johnstad, and it's called How to Fall in Love. And this is a great piece. Cara's not been on the programme for a long while, and I picked up this piece the other day and thought it would be really great for the programme. So just sit back and have a listen to this.
How do you fall in love? You don't fall in love like you fall in a hole. It is a big surprise falling in love because you thought you had everything just right on your own planet. And that was true in a way. But then somebody signaled to you across space, and the only way you could visit was to take a giant jump. You fall like falling through space. It's like you jump off your own private planet to visit someone else's planet, and when you get there, it all looks different. The flowers, the animals, the colors people wear. Away you go, falling into someone else's orbit, and after a while, you might decide. And after a while, you might decide to pull your two planets together and call it home. And you can bring your dog or your cat, your goldfish, hamster, collection of stones, all your odd socks. The ones you lost, including the holes, are now on the new planet you found. And you can bring your friends to visit and read your favorite stories to each other. And the falling was really the big jump that you had to make to be with someone you don't want to be without. That's it. P.S. You have to be brave.
Getting a feel for some of the poetry that we're playing tonight, and the whole theme of Rana is you've got to be brave, you've got to get out there, you've got to put yourself out there, you've got to touch other people. And sometimes, you know, you've really got to take a risk. What is life without taking a risk? It'd be really dull. You know, sometimes you just got to say, you know what, I'm going to make this happen and get out there and give it a go. So really nice piece that by Cara. So thank you very much, Cara, for sending that in. Now, I picked up on a guy called Patrick Reed the other day, a slam poet. It's called I Am. Let's have a listen to that one. First time on the program.
I am changing into someone I've never known before, another year older, body a little more sore. I am another year wiser from experiences learned, from times of promise, times I've been burned. I am striving, learning to become more caring, understanding. I am simply changing into the life I was meant to lead. I am simply trying to be the best I can be. I am loving, caring, trying to be kind, sharing. I am just me. I am a man trying to fulfill my destiny. I am human, making a mistake or two. I am learning not to hold on to frustration, but simply stepping back to take a different view. I am perhaps even learning a thing or two. I am human, no different than you. I am just me.
And there you go. I am just me. And that's all you can ever be. You can only ever be you. Because that's the most important thing. The more you're you, the better it is. Because people see through it if you're not. So a really great piece by Patrick Reed. As I say, first time on the program. Picked it up. Posted on the site. I went and had a look at his YouTube channel, and I saw him reading this live, and I thought, what a great piece to put on the program. So there you go. I dropped it in there. Now, Jason Nicholas Smith, been on the show a couple of times. He emailed me the other day with another piece that he'd written, and I thought, yeah, I kind of like this one as well. So let's drop this one in.
Some time ago, the prison system coined the phrase Rehabilitation Revolution. This poem is called Rehabilitation Revolution and it's my take. To rehabilitate is a proactive word. The re in rehabilitate is a redoing verb. To habilitate implies learning or teaching abilities, but put the re on habilitate and you get the how to meet certain needs. Needs must, but who, what, where and why? Because a man with no job, his wages will become stars in the sky. So let's get specific and start the targeting, leaving behind the pigeonholes prisoners keep falling in. Come for the ice cold course so we can explore, unblocking the avenues never foresaw or saw before. Come lace your boots tight and boldly tread our path, and no stress in this blessing because our drawback is never to laugh. We pass the tears fell throughout the years, all soaked into prison's walls, along with our fears. It's time now to move up from our peers, to throw down the glove and fight the face in the mirror that leers. It's wrung those higher bundled cash touches, you know those adrenaline by the clover-filled rushes. It's wrong rubber people using black plastic ties. You can see and smell the fear, there's no disguise. A good start is to be someone clean in your own eyes. Pristine, clear clarity, clearly now is the time to start. Our youth education has fallen behind bars. So here's the formula for our rehabilitation. Don't grab your balls, saying sod the nation. No matter the trials and tribulations thrown at us, you got to self-actualize and set yourself free without falling like Icarus.
What I like about Jason Nicholas Smith is he does these really great hard-hitting pieces of poetry, and that was no different than what he usually does. Great piece, Jason. Love it. Really good. Keep sending them in, and we'll play more of them on the Scribble Show. Now, Paul Griffiths is one of the regulars on the program, and he always makes me smile, Paul, and he sent this one in called Dot Road Lil, and it's a little bit lewd, and it's a bit of fun, and it's a great piece of poetry, and it's one of those things that brightens up your day when you listen to Griffiths deliver this, the Birkenhead poet at his best. So I'm going to play this tonight. Have a listen to it.
Hi, everyone. Paul Griffiths here, also known as the Birkenhead Poets. If you like my poems, please check out my page on Facebook. Big shout out to Neil and the gang at Scribble for doing a sterling job promoting poetry and the written word. This poem is a comedy poem, a little bit rude, but I hope you find it funny. It's called Dock Road Lil. Down on the dock road, she's a regular sight, touting for punters beneath the streetlights. With a bow-legged walk, she's not much of a looker. She spent the last 40 years as a street corner hooker. She had varicose veins that really looked shocking, so she coloured them in to look like fishnet stockings. She'd walked the streets for so long, she had a weather-beaten face, but if you had the money, then she had the place. Through a hole in the fence lay a dingy old shed with a stained mattress inside on a clapped-out camp bed. The punters who saw it thought only one thing. How many others had christened it Springs? For Lil would take credit from her regulars who couldn't pay and then wait down a post office for their gyro day. She knew every punter in town and the tricks that they liked. The other girls on the game came to Lil for advice, to discuss going rate or to stop for a natter. She was like an old mother hen to those girls on the batter. Even the police looked on Lil as a local institution, from the time she'd been fined for committing prostitution. She was arrested so often she felt at home in a cell. She treated the Bridewell like a private motel. She'd been in court so many times, she knew all about the law. She could have been a barrister if she had not been a whore. But the streets paid better and she preferred it on the game, because Lil would do anything for money. For Lil, she had no shame. But due to the long hours that she worked, and most of them spent on the floor, it given Lil lumbago and she couldn't take much more. She had to go to the doctor due to the constant pain, but when she went back on the streets, things just weren't the same, as she tried to flag down punters now behind her Zimmer frame. So she jacked it all in for a while, but it didn't last too long, for those streets they're like a magnet, and the pull was just too strong. Now I've heard a funny rumour that Lil is back down there, this time chasing after punters in her new souped-up wheelchair. So if you're ever going down the dock road, please keep an eye out for Lil, because if you've never noticed her before, then now perhaps yous will. Thank you very much, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Good night.
See, there you go. If that didn't cheer you up, nothing will. What a great piece out by Paul Griffiths. Absolutely fantastic. And you'll be hearing a lot more from Paul when we get back after the summer break, because he just cheers up an otherwise dull day. Absolutely storming poet, and great when he's doing his live work as well. Now, I recorded a piece of Stephen Evans' work called Lost and Weary. And it was on one of the daily shows, but what I really wanted to do was play it on our weekly show, because it was a really well-constructed piece of poetry, really well put together, and overall, I just loved it. And I thought, well, I'm going to record it, I'm going to play it, and I'm going to play it for you again tonight. So have a listen to it. Unfulfilled hunger, unquenchable thirst, my heart never wins, the pain comes first. Dream of tomorrow, living for today, fighting temptation as it comes my way. Searching for answers, beginning to end, never admitting, confessing my sin. Blinded by the world, giving in to lust, looking for guidance, someone to trust. Lost and wandering, no plans have been made, ran from redemption, no hope to be saved. All alone and scared, can't find peace or joy, walked away from faith, now banned from glory. Like foreboding words from an obsolete verse, the devil's embrace, a cold, wicked curse. Too weak to struggle, praying for the end. If there's an afterlife, let it begin. My soul's salvation is what I betrayed. Now I understand why I should have prayed. How many times do you feel lost and weary? It must be numerous times. You know, you go on through the week and you think, oh my God, what's it all about? And when I read that, it just kind of summed it all up for me. So, brilliant piece, Stephen. Thank you very much for writing it. And I hope you don't mind me reading it for you. I hope it was okay. Now, we're going to play one last piece now before we go out of the program. It's called When the Time Was Right. It was written and read. Oh, it's been written. And it's been read by, so I'll get my teeth back in, Hank Bukemer. And Hank's a great poet. He posts on the Poetry in Motion page. He's been on The World Comes to You, and we've picked him up on Scribble Radio. So have a listen to this, When the Time Was Right.
Well, yes, I've been there. And yes, I've done that too. And every other time, I could always bounce right back to you. But darling, when you left me, something deep inside me snapped. These days, it seems, the nights, the devil's got me trapped. I wish I could have known you when you were still filled with joy, flashing your pretty eyes, fascinating all the boys. I never knew until you weren't here just exactly what you meant to me, and just how much we both had changed down through all these years. I wish I could have known you when you first learned how to dance, seeing your face as a little girl, just dreaming of romance. But I met you when the time was right, just when we thought we'd forgotten how that everything that came before always leads us to now. I'm glad I knew you, darling, all the days, the months, the years. We were gonna spend a lifetime filled with laughter and some tears. We were gonna spend a lifetime catching up on all we'd missed, 'cause I knew just who you were that first night that we kissed. I wish I could be there the next time you fall in love. I would tell you it will last forever, just like that old moon above. I would tell you what happened when the time was right, when you thought you'd forgotten how that everything that came before always leads you to now. But I met you when the time was right, when we thought we'd forgotten how that everything that came before always leads us to now.
I wish I could have known you. And I did when the time was right. Absolutely brilliant by Hank Bukema. Wonderful piece. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for joining me. It's been a really nice programme for me this week, listening to some really great poetry. Next week, you've got Steve back, so there'll be Steve and I on the programme next week, so there'll be lots of banter, lots of laughter, as usual. It'll be our last show for the summer recess, while we take a break from our broadcast schedule. So expect it to be a fun-filled, high-octane show, whereas this week it's been a little bit more laid-back. I'd just like to thank all of you for listening, for all you scribblers for writing and producing great poetry. And as I say, each and every week, may your God or your gods go with you. Good night.